Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson, here on the Friday edition of the Yard. I got to hurry. We got baseball in a little while. So I don't know if we go to full 90 minutes today, but it'll be a power-packed show. We'll get a lot of stuff in, and we're going to get ready to go take care of the University of Georgia. We're going to preview the Georgia Bulldogs on today's show. We're going to look around the Southeastern Conference, talk about some football stuff, do a great top 10 for you as well. We're excited, man. And it's a busy weekend at True Rest of Starkville, too. And if you're looking to get it in float, you still got some availability. The best way to check that is to download the True Rest app, or you can just call 662-268-7601. A lot of people headed to town. Like, hey, while I'm in town, Steve, I want to float. We've got a lot of members now, too. So we encourage you, of course, to visit truerest.com. Check it out. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram, TikTok, all those good things. True Rest of Starkville. If you are suffering with chronic pain or chronic anxiety or depression, this may be a solution for you. It may be something that helps you. And I think everybody would benefit from it, no matter what your needs are in life. It has changed my life for the better. And I'm saying that not because I bought the business. That's why I bought the business. It's as simple as that. I wanted my friends and neighbors to be able to experience this too. And I can tell you know, I'm writing a new book right now. We'll talk about that a little bit later in the show. And I'm enjoying and savoring every moment. Like, I don't feel this desire to kind of rush the process. I want to do a good job on it. I think my cognitive function is better. When I have to go look for some player from 1922's name who played for another team and try to get his first name, you know, instead of me panicking like, oh, crap, here we go again, a lot more patient with it. And I feel like my emotional response to negative stimuli these days is much better, too, more appropriate. So it's helped me, and maybe it can help you too, you know. And so I think everybody would appreciate the joy of floating. Maybe it's not something you do regularly, but for other people, I think you're going to find some real relief and say, you know what, I want this and need this in my life. Again, go to truerest.com, download the True Rest app if you'd like, or just simply call my lovely wife, Dana, at 662-268-7601. She can answer any of your questions. She's a registered nurse. I've been at this a long time, you know. And we've got a lot of raving fans of our business, and thank you very much for that. But I think everybody needs to do it at least once. I don't have to sell you on it. I just got to get you in the pod one time. I think once you get in the pod once, you'd be like, you know what? This is amazing. I truly believe that. Be sure and check that out. Also, too, while you're in town, too, be sure and go check out our friends at Bulldog Burger Company. I love Bulldog Burger Company. I love them more than a friend. I really do. And it doesn't matter what I'm feeling, how I'm feeling, what I'm hungry for, I can find it. With rare exception, at Bulldog Burger Company. Whether it be one of their fine restaurant quality hamburgers, maybe it's the chicken wings, maybe it's the Sloppy Joe sliders, maybe it's that sweet heat chicken sandwich, or maybe I just feel like eating something a little bit fresh. You know how that is sometimes. You think, you know, I just want a salad. I always go with the BLT. I do. You may change it up, but I do. I go with the BLT. I get the grilled chicken BLT salad with ranch, because I'm from South Mississippi. It's kind of a requirement. Maybe you like it fried. I don't know. It's up to you. I don't judge. But I know this. I know that if you're hungry today, or if you're looking for a night out with friends or your family, just to kind of get out and celebrate, let somebody else do the cooking. Let them wait on you. Let mom get a break. And in some cases, dad get a break. Let's just all congregate together and have a wonderful meal at Bulldog Burger Company. Three great locations to serve you: University Drive in Stark Vegas, Gloucester Street there in Tupelo, Lake Harbor Drive in the Ridge and Flowood area. Have the spring rolls as your appetizer. They'll make you and everybody around you better looking. And we all need more of that. We do, some more than others. It's the secret to my beauty regimen. It's the spring rolls. It's true. They don't call me Beautiful Steve Robertson for nothing, and you can attribute most of that to genetics and the spring rolls from Bulldog Burger Company. Be sure and check them out. Next time you're in town, make plans today to swing through Bulldog Burger Company, one of their fine locations, and take your family on a dining experience unlike any others. Bulldog Burger Company, the place where people go to meet, M-E-A-T. All right. Huge college baseball series taking place in Starkville, Mississippi. And I'll be honest with you, of the four series we have this month, this one probably makes me the most nervous because of the fact there are so many great mistake hitters in this Georgia lineup. I mean, obviously, you got to feel like they probably got a little bit of a chip on their shoulder. I mean, they're 23-6. And nobody's really taking them seriously. They went over there and bombed Tennessee, made those guys respect them a little bit, but they played a pretty weak non-conference schedule. And I rolled that out there for you, just because I think it's important to understand. A lot of people were very critical of our non-conference schedule. But you look around the league and you realize some other people, not nearly what you thought. That's what happens. We live in the big maroon bubble, right? We get kind of insulated. We're only acutely aware of what happens with us. And so we don't think about everybody else. And that's just human nature. But let's take a look. Of course, back in the preseason, they did play Florida out in Jacksonville and Kennesaw State there at Foley Field. Those were, fall baseball games. They're listed on the schedule, but have no bearing whatsoever on the season itself. But they open up on UNC Asheville, and they put up some big runs. I mean, huge, huge scoring games. 11-2, 17-5. That game lasted just 8 innings, and they 10-run rule at UNC Asheville in 7 on Sunday. So, I mean, you look up there and you think, man, 38 runs opening weekend for Georgia. These guys are legit. They didn't go to Georgia State, beat them 15-0. They 10-run rule Northern Kentucky. 15-5 on a Friday game. Saturday, much more competitive, a 7-6 ball game, and then a 12-11 game on Sunday. So again, scoring some big runs, but starting to allow some. This Georgia pitching staff, pretty mediocre, right? They got some decent arms in there, but not a lot of depth. Wes Johnson will get them right in time, but it's interesting. Midweek game against Presbyterian. Those games can always get a little funky. This one does, but they're able to win it 4-3. Interesting ball game. The Wednesday game is against Michigan State there in Athens, and they get absolutely trounced, does Georgia, 19-6 in a midweek game. They won just 7 innings. Georgia Tech game, they had that game that was halted in the 5th inning due to rain. They come back and play again on Saturday, 3-1. They win that game, and then they take care of Georgia Tech 11-9. Georgia Tech is just kind of an average team this year. Georgia Southern, they get those guys 7-2, our friends, Georgia Southern. They get Stetson, another midweek game. It's 11-5. Of course, Stetson beat Florida earlier this year in a midweek game. Northern Colorado, they get those guys 11-1 in 7 innings. Then they get them 19-1 in 7 innings, and then 14-6. I don't know if you guys are big fans of Northern Colorado baseball. Maybe you are. Maybe I don't know you as well as I think I do. Maybe you guys just kind of follow everybody. I don't know. We'll see. But I don't know what you know about Northern Colorado baseball. But let me share this with you. Okay, again, those scores are very, very gaudy, as you could imagine. Guys, Northern Colorado is 6-22. You want to ask why Georgia's RPI is what it is and why Georgia's not ranked? It's because of things like that. So, yeah, you go out there and you hang a bunch of runs on somebody that's kind of a, less than mediocre opponent. They do get Iowa in a midweek game. And Iowa's, playing better as of late. Maybe had lived up to expectations. We do expect Iowa to be a pretty solid team in a tournament. Georgia gets them 10-5. Well, then we get into SEC play. You're like, okay, well, now we're going to find out where the rubber meets the road here. Georgia travels to Lexington, which is tough, especially at opening weekend. It's like I've said before to somebody involved with all scheduling. I said, I don't know that it's fair to Kentucky host opening weekend. And I guess, well, is it fair to Florida to host the final weekend? The elements are the elements. It's part of the game. There's some truth in that. But guys, Georgia gets swept up at Kentucky, 16-10, 9-3, and then the final game, and we've had some experience with the Wildcats in these type of endeavors, they sweep Georgia 12-2 in a 7-run ball game in Lexington. So now all of a sudden people are like, the bloom is kind of off the rose here. They bounce back and beat the mighty Wolford baseball program 18-6 in 8 innings. And then they host Alabama. They're able to take the series from Alabama. They even actually sweep the Tide. And I think Alabama and Georgia both are just kind of middle of the pack teams in this conference. But they get all three, 9-5, 6-5, 10-5. But you notice the scoring's coming down. Alabama pitching's been okay, but not great. Very competitive games here. But again, Georgia scoring some points. I mean, if somebody told us, hey, you guys are going to put up 25 runs in an SEC weekend, we'd feel like we got a good chance to win it. And Georgia did. All right. Then last, they go to Tennessee last weekend. They win game one 16-2 in a seven-inning run rule. And then on Saturday, they get beat 16-11 and then shut out on Sunday 7-0. They bounce back to beat Georgia State 10-1 on Tuesday. So, again, the Georgia Bulldogs enter this weekend's series at Mississippi State with a 23-6 overall record and 4-5 in the Southeastern Conference. And, again, 19-1 at home. And a lot of that is because Foley Field is a launching pad and their launch angle offense. They've changed a lot. They can play a lot of games at their place, so they're kind of built for their park. It'll be interesting to see kind of what they do at Duty Noble Field. Be awfully interesting to kind of see how that kind of plays out here, you know. And, you know, you start looking through, you know, the numbers here, you know, and so many of these games and so many of these gaudy scores all came at Foley Field against subpar competition. That's not to say these guys can't swing it. They absolutely can. And if we make a mistake, they're going to make us pay for it. They're looking for that fastball up. They're looking for that center cut fastball. And it's been amazing to see kind of what they've done in year one under Wes Johnson. But, you know, we're going to have to pitch it well. So let's get a little deeper inside the numbers here and look and see kind of what Georgia looks like. You know, it's so easy to just look at a record and say, okay, well, that's great. You look at that record and say, okay. Well, part of the issue is Charlie Condon. This guy's doing some historic things. He is in a position to break some all-time national records this year in both slugging and on-base percentage, which is ridiculous. You can't pitch to him. You can't. Guys, he's hitting .481. And that's in 180 at-bats. It's not like he's a guy that's just not getting there very often. But 180 at-bats. He scored 41 runs, has 52 hits, 11 doubles, legged out one triple, 19 bombs already, and 41 RBI. Nuts, right? He's only struck out 17 times, which is a little bit higher than the average player on this roster, but you expect a guy that's a power hitter to have some Ks, but it's not really out of line with the rest of their team. It's a remarkable season. Easily, right now, the pick at the midway point for the National Player of the Year. All right, Paul Totes, hitting .362. Also got a couple of tanks, 12 RBIs. He's a guy that's kind of a in-and-out guy, kind of defensive replacement. He's only started 15 games. He's played in 24 of 29. Dylan Goldstein, kind of the same way, hitting .338. You know, he's missed five games, but he's appeared, you know, in 24. Slade Offord, former Diamond Dog, has played in 29 games, hitting .331. Also has 8 home runs, 32 ribbies, and leads the team with 26 strikeouts. And that's kind of been the book on Slate, right? I mean, he hit some big tanks for us last year. We don't beat LSU in that Sunday game without Slate Offord. Let's just call it for what it is. It was good for both sides for us to make a change. You know, he moved on. He wasn't pushed out. It was his decision to leave, but he was going to have to compete for a starting job. He leaves and goes to Georgia. Appears he's found a home there. But you know, it's going to be an emotional series for him. We're going to have to be smart in how we pitch him, for sure. Sebastian Murillo, another part-time starter. That's the thing. There's not a lot of consistency in this lineup. Sebastian Murillo hitting .311. Also got a couple tanks. Another guy down the order a little bit you got to look at, too. And he hadn't had near the opportunities that Slade and Charlie Condon have had. But he's kind of like a snake laying in the reeds there is Corey Collins. Hitting .396, 12 tanks, 31 RBI. He's appeared in only 21 games. He's missed 8 games. He's only started 15. So nearly half the games, he's found himself on the bench swinging a big bat, though. And it's really, you know, it's kind of up and down the order. They got 84 home runs. It's a team, which is absolutely ridiculous. Lead the SEC by far. But you start doing the numbers here. We'll count together. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 different players have hit jacks this year. And so, again, that's a product of the offense. It's their system. This is what they do, what they expect. Hey, swing hard in case you hit it and try to get some trajectory. Launch that thing out of here. As a team, they're hitting .325. And again, some of this is an indictment on the quality of competition. You see, in conference play, things have been a little bit different. So we're gonna jump over to conference play and just kind of look and see how everybody's doing in conference play. All right, so among the regulars, Corey Collins leads Georgia. We just talked about him, right? Kind of a snake in the reeds there. Corey Collins has played in 8 SEC games. They've played 9. He leads the team with a .429 batting average among the regulars. And 7 of his home runs have come against SEC pitching. Charlie Condon, hitting .394 against SEC pitching. Got 3 doubles, 5 tanks, 11 RBI. But again, it's SEC pitching. So you expect everybody's numbers to come down some. But the fact that Charlie's been able to guess he's 6 points away from .400. It's nuts, man. Henry Hunter hitting .389 for them in conference play with a tank. Slade a little different, though. In conference play, Slade Alford is hitting .278, 1 home run, 7 RBIs, and 9 strikeouts there. And so it's been a little more difficult for him, but even that's nothing to sneeze at, right? I mean, .278, you know, again, it's a step down in competition when you go and play non-conference opponents. But Slade is a guy that has proven when he was here at Mississippi State, he is capable of hitting SEC pitching. And you have to be aware. You can't let that guy beat you. You don't necessarily want to pitch around him, but you got to make him hit your pitch. You're going to have to pitch around Condon because he's just locked in like nobody's been locked in, man. It's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. But and conference play as a team, they're hitting .283, which, again, solid. And 23 tanks against SEC pitching, they've allowed 18. But you start running the math here, too. Like, they stolen base. You ever Googled yourself? You may be alarmed to know exactly how much of your private information and data is out there for anybody to access. Whether it be your phone number, your home address, or details about your family. It could be your kids' names, their ages. Whether you agree to this disclosure or not. And that's because data brokers are collecting and selling your information to marketers, scammers, and basically anyone willing to pay. It's the reason robocallers know your name, and while ads seem to follow you on every digital platform out there. Well, Aura fights back for you. They remove your personal data from broker sites and keep it off. Aura also alerts you fast if your information shows up in a data breach or on the dark web. But Aura is more than just data broker removal. It's a full digital security suite that protects every part of your life online. Aura gives you a VPN to stay private, antivirus to block threats, a password manager to keep all your logins safe, and they even give you spam call protection to cut off those stupid scammers. Aura also scans the dark web regularly for your most sensitive information, like your social security number, bank logins, passwords, and they will notify you instantly if you are somehow exposed. If your identity is ever stolen, you're backed up by up to $5 million in insurance and 24/7 U.S.-based fraud support to help you recover everything quickly. Other services charge about the same, but they only cover one or two areas. With Aura, you get it all. Data broker removal, credit and identity monitoring, device protection, and fraud support, all with one simple app. Aura removes what is already exposed, protects what isn't, and puts you back in control. Right now, you can try Aura free for 14 days when you visit aura.com/remove. That gives them plenty of time to go ahead and start protecting your data. They can remove your personal information from data broker sites. Sign up today at aura.com/remove and get the peace of mind that your privacy, identity, and finances are all safeguarded. That's Aura, aura.com/remove. Certain terms and conditions apply. Be sure and check it out today at aura.com.
Studies show that 100% of everybody in the world wants to curl up indoors and do nothing because it's so darn cold out there. That's why many people are turning to Bombas, whose pillowy plush slippers and warm merino wool socks have been said to be the most comfortable in the history of feet. Bombas products have been found to boost coziness by up to 1 million percent. Okay, enough fake statistics, but could Bombas socks and slippers really be the cure? Go to bombas.com/audio and use code audio for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com and use code audio.
This is interesting for me too. And as a former catcher, I always think about that. In SEC play, Georgia has allowed 13 stolen bases in 15 attempts. Georgia themselves, 6 of 7. Now, if we look overall, and again, taking into account the quality of competition, guys, Georgia's allowed 40 stolen bases, 40 in 45 attempts. That's a huge number. And so we get guys on, we have to take advantage of that. Got to take that extra base. Got to get a guy in a scoring position without the benefit of a hit. Give us an opportunity to plate that extra run, because I think runs are going to be extremely important this weekend. I don't think it's going to be a weekend where runs are at a premium. I think you're never going to get enough runs. All right, looking at pitching here, we'll start with overall numbers. This is a staff that has been really up and down. Now, the ERA is 5.33 overall. And again, you have to factor in the quality competition. But, looking here, the starters here, Christian Maracna, 8 starts on the year, 3.86 ERA, 25.2 innings pitched. He's allowed just under a hit per at 22, allowed 11 earned runs, 38 punch-outs against 16 strikeouts. So he's right there basically just over 2-for-1. Charlie Goldstein, 6 starts on the year, 4.08 ERA, has led the staff in innings pitch at 28.2, but he's given up just over a hit per at 31. He's allowed 13 earned runs, 31 punch-outs against 11 Ks, so he's right there at 3-to-1. But again, those are numbers that you expect. They're not elite numbers, right? Those are the numbers that you want to have. Leighton Finley, 7 starts for him, 5.14 ERA, also has worked 28 innings, been given up a hit over a hit per at 30. So you start working through here and you begin to realize, these starters have been good, they haven't been great. You catch them on a good day, they get some run support, they win. If they don't, they lose. That lost a whole lot. But when we get into conference play, and we talked about home runs earlier, they've allowed 41. Not a huge number, but 41. But when you look at the how these guys have pitched in conference, it's a much, much different dynamic. And it is for everybody, but it's a pretty dramatic deal for them. Again, because I think when you look at their non-conference scheduling, they scheduled some wins. And listen, I don't begrudge that. You have to, when you're a new team, new coaching staff, new system, let's schedule light, get our legs under us, get some confidence built up. You wonder how much of this is false confidence kind of built on the fact that they hadn't really played many people. And I'm sure that series against Kentucky was very humbling. They do bounce back and take a series from Alabama. But then you lose 2 out of 3 to Tennessee. And so, again, you've lost 2 of your first 3 series, as has Mississippi State. But I would venture to say Mississippi State's been more competitive in those games against better competition. State's played 3 top 10 opponents. And you can make the numbers work for you however you want to. But I think the statistics certainly favor State in this situation. But as a staff in SEC play, the Georgia team ERA is 9. 9. That's tough. And then you work through these conference starters, Christian Maracana, Maracna, I apologize to the family there. He's 1-2 with a 6.10 ERA. 17 punchies against 6 walks. That's good numbers there. Charlie Goldstein has pitched in relief, 6.75 ERA. Colton Smith, 1-2 record in 3 appearances for them in relief, 17.28 ERA. I mean, again, you work through here, and I'm sure that's what everybody is. Charlie Goldstein's 1-0 with 3 starts. My mistake. But you start looking, there just doesn't appear to be a bona fide ace. At least nobody in SEC play at this point has really stepped forward and proven to be, a lead starter. So one of the things that I point out when we play teams like this, and we have games like this against opponents that, have some gaudy numbers, is we get to hit 2. One of my favorite Mississippi State shirts of all time, and I don't even remember when I had it. I want to say I was in college. It was a shirt. It said, Mississippi State Baseball, shut up and pitch. That's kind of my attitude this weekend. We got to keep the ball down, and we got to go out there and take some swings at these guys for sure. They allowed 18 home runs in 9 SEC games so far, and so that's 2 per. They've hit 23. But it's one of those things, too, again, Quality of competition. What kind of team can they be on the road? Not playing at Foley Field. Playing in a hostile environment. And I expect huge crowds this weekend, especially tomorrow. I really, really, really do. But when, again, you work through these numbers, batting average against for Georgia pitching in SEC play is 344. So people are putting the ball in play against them. They are. 72 innings pitched, they've allowed 106 hits and 77 runs. Let that sink in for a second. 72 of them are earned. They're giving up an earned run per inning in SEC play. That's not winning baseball. We have to take advantage of that. But again, my concern with this whole Georgia thing is, number one, we don't know the availability of Nate Dolan. We don't know who's pitching on Sunday. We don't. If we had Nate and Nate was healthy, I'd say, you know what, we got a chance to sweep this series. I just don't know if I can go that far with it. Got to get a good effort from Cal, and you know, Gerangelo can go out there and shove, and we'll see what happens on Sunday. But I really think State is in a good situation here to take this series. I expect State to win the series. And you could possibly sweep, but I'm not willing to go there. Of course, I'd be happy with two. I'd be thrilled with three. You win three this weekend, oh my goodness. You know, Katie kind of barred the door. Because, again, I think this may be our most difficult series in the month of April, and that includes going to Vanderbilt at the end of the month. And I may change my feelings on that after a couple weekends, but that's how I feel today. Because you got to think, Georgia here, go to Ole Miss, where we've had really good success in the last decade now or so. And then Auburn comes in, who's struggling. And then we go to Nashville, where they have not scored a lot of runs. And I'm so glad that Enrique Bradfield is gone. Love that kid's game. So glad we don't have to play against him. Really, 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 really electric center fielder. But all that understood, that's kind of where we are now. We have to go take care of business this weekend. We can't let them hang around. It can't be like a Florida situation where we're just kind of hoping they get out. We got to go get outs and get them out of the ballgame. But that's how I see the series. You may disagree. It's completely fine. My feelings won't be hurt. I think we all want the same thing. That's for Mississippi State to win. And I believe State wins the series. All right, time for today's Top 10 List is always brought to you by closewithblair.com. That's C-L-O-S-E with Blair, B-L-A-I-R. .com. Blair Chandler is my friend, your friend, our collective friend in the mortgage industry. We all love Blair, and if you don't know Blair, he's just a friend you hadn't met yet. Your mortgage is important. Don't entrust it in the hands of somebody that's less than a professional. It's difficult to know who to trust these days, so I'm telling you, giving you the personal endorsement of Blair Chandler. He's my friend. Known him a long time. Blair's also a guy, too, that's been in this industry 23 years, back-to-back-to-back years, top 1% close ratio in the country. Not just in Pilahatchee, not in Alcoa, not in Wiggins, everywhere. So whether you're looking for a game day condo, wouldn't that be nice? Or looking for a home for the very first time? Blair can help you navigate through a very complicated process because he has all the expertise needed to get you to the closing table. And as always, encourage you to get pre-qualified, okay? So don't go out there and kind of want to live beyond your means. You think, and just get me in the house. Because once you get in the house, you got to pay for it, right? So live within your means. Get pre-qualified. That'll save you and your real estate agent a lot of time. But also, too, you'll be surprised at how much more urgency you get from your real estate agent when they know that you already have funding approved. It's a cool thing. Again, get pre-qualified with Blair Chandler at closewithblair.com. Give him a call or text today, 601-500-2344. Again, 601-500-2344. All right. As you guys know, we're going to begin our journey into rock. Very ambitious series. We're going to begin on Monday. And since we're going to do 2 weeks of rock, I thought maybe we owed it to some of you guys to do some country. Now, my country music experts haven't been available this morning, but I kind of like Jason Aldean. Now, Roy does not. So Roy offered no assistance whatsoever today. He goes, I'm in a meeting, and I'm not an Aldean guy. Okay, fair, Roy, fair. I like some of Jason Aldean stuff. I do. I kind of like that old dirt road country. You know, I don't know what you guys label these days, but I like it. I do. I like a little bit of the edge there. I like it a little more than the bro country. I guess maybe some of you would consider Jason Aldean to be a bro country artist. I don't know. I mean, I guess he does wear those bedazzled jeans, so I can't really argue against it. I don't know your culture, right? But I do listen to some Jason Aldean on occasion, and a lot of times I listen to him at Duty Noble Field. And as Roy suggested, it's clear that our baseball team likes Jason Aldean. Play a lot of Jason Aldean stuff during games. And so here we are. So again, I'm familiar with the catalog. I'm not an avid fan. So if there's an obvious omission here, please forgive me as I am kind of dancing here on glass. But here are my top 10 Jason Aldean songs. Number 10, I grew up in South Mississippi, right? And so there are a lot of people these days that are kind of all hat and no cattle. You know what I'm talking about, right? Right? Couldn't change a tire, you know. But they're country folks, you know. Stop at the Cracker Barrel, shop at the Walmart. They don't make you country. But Jason Aldean's got a pretty good idea of what makes her country in the song She's Country. And that's kind of is in South Mississippi. Most of those girls are really country. And I know some girls up in Northeast Mississippi that are as country as you'll ever see. I tell you what's interesting, too, in the Duty Noble book, pretty crazy stuff. And I don't know that this makes the book, but I wanted to share it with you guys. Duty Noble, of course, one of nine kids. He had a couple of sisters, like as soon as they graduated college, and all nine of William Noble's sons and daughters went to college and got a college degree. And girls didn't go to college back then. But two of Duty Noble's sisters, after they graduated college, went to Wyoming and worked on ranches as true cowgirls. So when people say, hey, it's a cow college, yeah, well, there we go, right? So our heritage runs deep there. Maybe it's a little trivia you didn't know. The Duty Noble sisters went to Wyoming and worked on a real ranch. Of course, daughters of Hinds County, Mississippi, by way of Learned, Mississippi. They were country, and she's country, number 10. All right, number nine, this song has been kind of controversial, and I wanted to put it on the list. I don't think it's a great song. I think it is a good song. I don't think it's a great song, but there are a lot of people that I think there's such a rush to be offended these days. I don't know when we all got so sensitive. It's almost like we're ultra sensitive because we don't want to be viewed as being, progressive, I guess, maybe. I'm just going to be me. Like, and if I don't like something, I'm just not going to like it. And there are some people that I don't like either. And you know what? This is America. I don't need a good reason not to like somebody. There's just sometimes you don't get a vibe, right? And it's like people want to assign motive and say, well, you don't like me because of this or because of that. It may be because I don't like you. It's because you're a jerk. I may not like you because of how you treated me. I don't judge people on how they dress or how they look. It makes no difference to me. You can't be like me, covered in tattoos and have dreads down to your waist and wear Motley Crue shirts everywhere you go and then, you know, become a fashion expert. It's not how life works. I'm a live and let live person, man. And I've had so many people that say, Steve, you can't be that way. I am going to be that way because it is my choice to lead my life as I choose. And I don't think that I should have a say in how you live your life. That said, when your desire to live your life infringes on me and my ability to live my life, we're going to have a discussion. And chances are we're going to have a conflict that you're not going to be happy with because of the fact that I'm going to say and do the things that I need to do to protect myself and to protect my family and to protect my home and my animals. And I am an equal opportunity person when it comes to that, when it comes to defending my life, my family, my property. It doesn't, I'm not going to ask anybody for an ID when they show up. Wait, where'd you go to school? No, none of that. No. Are you kind of rare-rating it? No, none of that. You show up looking for trouble, you're going to find it. And that's really kind of what I think this song is about. And people tried to kind of misconstrue that and assign their own motives. And it's amazing how people do that these days. But it's a song, try that in a small town. You know, here's the thing. There's so many crazy things that have happened in our country the last few years, and some people feel like it's justified. I can get on board with some of that, but some of the stuff that's happened, it's just been civil disobedience in the name of a cause. It's like, you know, you got people out there that wouldn't care less about this stuff, but it's a chance to get out there and be disobedient, to be destructive. And I don't know how you feel about your life and your property and your home and your family. I don't know. Maybe you don't feel as passionately about those things as I do. But I know this. I love my town. I love Starkville. I love my home state of Mississippi. And you show up here looking for trouble, you're going to find it. And I know there's a place. Listen, let me tell you something. There are places in this state where I know when my welcome is worn out. Right? You know, discretion is the better part of valor. Now, I know there are some cities, there are some sections of cities, there are some places I need to go over there and mind my manners because I don't want trouble. Because I know that if I show up down there and get all side-eyed and get my mouth running too much, there's going to be trouble. I know this. I got enemies from way back. It's true. And so I tread lightly. I respect those people's property. I respect their town. I respect their life. And if I show up there and disrespect them, I'm going to get handled. I know this. I think it's important to understand. And so, again, you may not like the song. You may not even like me including it on the list. I think somehow you'll find a way to live with it. Number 8, Dirt Road Anthem. Like this one, too. Kind of a throwback, you know, and to me, like from a lyrical content standpoint, it really is old school kind of country. I mean, it's not the old ballad there, Waylon Jennings, Kenny Rogers type song where you're telling a story, but it's, you know, it's a throwback to a simpler time in many respects. Of course, the instrumentation's a little more modern, but I dig that song. Number 7, and you probably saw this coming a mile away, it's Tattoos on This Town. You know, and again, that's one thing that's kind of a prevalent theme in a Jason Aldean catalog. You know, it's kind of like, you know, we're gonna make an impact, we're gonna make a statement, we're gonna do some things here that let people know that we're around. And so, Tattoos on This Town is kind of like that. You know, we're gonna leave our mark, which kind of segues well into number 6. Gonna know we were here. That's kind of how I feel about a lot of things, to be honest with you. You know, I don't want to be one of those guys that sits back, and I've told you guys this many times before on this show. Before I wrote Flim Flam, I had this crippling fear that I was going to lay in my deathbed someday knowing that I never wrote a book, knowing that that was part of my manifest destiny, that that was what I was born to do, and that I was going to let my life just kind of slip away from me and not accomplish the things that I think were there for me. And so I don't have that fear anymore. And one of the things that that gives me a great deal of comfort is to know that after I'm gone, that I have left some sense of a legacy. If not for you, but for my family. My children will be able to grab these books. They'll be able to go find these shows. They'll be able to go look at the Facebook Live stuff. They'll read all these articles. Whenever they miss me, I'm not going to be that far away, right? That's one of the reasons when I wrote When the Bottom Falls, I wrote so many of life lessons that I was so incredibly transparent because I wanted my children to truly know who their dad was and who he is. And so I think about those things a lot. When you die, are people going to remember that you were here? And I don't just mean your friends and neighbors and those in your immediate circle. You know, if we loved enough, you know, if we spread enough kindness, if we went out and helped people in their time of need, and given of ourselves and of our time, you know, it's easy to write a check. It is, you know, what can we do? I'll send some flowers. But it's not a thing, you know. I remember when Dane and I lost a baby, our first, and I had so many people that, and it made such an impression on me. Even if I wanted to, I could get emotional right now because of what it meant to us. It was the most difficult time of my life. And I had all these friends in recovery and neighbors and people like that that you know, that made casseroles or made soups or, you know, bought us pizza. And I was dealing with some serious grief for the first time in my life. And I could let that define me, but I'll tell you, my memories from that, as difficult as it was, and we're coming up on that day here in about a month, but it's the kindness of so many people that did not have any sense of requirement to do that, but did it out of love to help us. Just anything you can do, right? Well, you know, Steve, we made you guys some cornbread dressing, you know, and here's this. And we had people drop off groceries and things like that. I mean, I'm going to work every day, but it's just people did anything they could. It is so easy, so incredibly easy to tell people, hey, I'll be there for you. I'll do anything for you. I'm always here for you. And it's so funny, so much. I could opine about this a long time. Some of the people, some of the biggest fakes I've ever heard in my life are the people that say, I'm always here for you. Yeah, you're always here for me because you want the gossip, right? I got some people close to me that got some friends. They're some of the fakest people I've ever known in my life. Ever. It's ridiculous. And it's like, oh, I'm here for you. Yeah, so you can hear all the tea. I found out that people truly cared about me at my weakest points, because those that really loved me were there for me. They really were. It's easy to say you'll do anything for somebody until they actually need something. And those are the things that I think about too. I choose to focus more on that, on the kindness of people like that, than the fakery of these others. You know, the lying liars will always lie. It's what they do. You just got to make sure that you can see beyond the charade there, not let them know too much about you. Because again, I'm not going to spend much time on this, but one of my favorite things to argue about, and I don't even think it's an argument, right? I hear these things all the time and from these people whose their acquaintances, they're not friends, they're acquaintances. Well, I just want you to be happy. Is it true? Yeah, because if that was true, maybe you'd leave me alone. Instead of giving me all this nonsense, self-serving advice because, you know, you want me to go do what you do. You want me to follow you around, be your little sidekick, right? Because you're so miserable in your life, you want me to be miserable with you because misery loves company. You know, be careful that the people that are wishing you happiness know what happiness is. And it's one of the things they told me when I first went into AA, when I first got into the rooms of recovery. They said, stick with the winners. I thought that was an interesting comment. Stick with the winners. Are you trying to tell me there's some losers here? And I found in time, yes, that's true. You stick with the winners. You look at the people that have what you want in life, and then you kind of do what they did to get it. And that's just not recovery. That's business. That's family. That's romance in many respects, right? You find people that have something you want, and you kind of pattern yourself after them. You follow in their footsteps. I'm going to offer this to you too, and this is free. I would not take marital advice from anybody that's been divorced three times, unless it's about what not to do. Yeah, that person should have no influence on you at any point in your life, ever, ever, ever. I don't go to the car shop. I don't go to the mechanic shop to figure out how to get my dentures fixed, right? I don't wear dentures. It just kind of came to me. You know, I don't run down to the bait and tackle to ask him how to buy a cake or how to bake one. I'll get it right in a minute. But you understand my point. You know, if I want to learn how to write a song, I need to listen to musicians. I need to talk to musicians. If I want to learn how to dance, I need to go join a dance class. And you don't learn to dance by going bowling. You know, and so that's such a, I guess, a metaphor in many respects. But you look at all this, again, there's a lot of people out there that are just psychic vampires trying to suck the life out of you. It's true. It's true. And they want you to be similarly situated with them because they have found a way to ruin their own lives. And if they can get you to maybe give them the gleeful satisfaction of ruining yours, then they can somehow find some measure of happiness. All right, number five, we back. I apologize for the tangent there. Number five, we back. Again, it's a good one. Kind of a song of empowerment and encouragement. You know, and I hope Mississippi State Baseball is back like I think they are. This weekend will likely determine a lot of that. But yeah, we didn't expect this Bulldog team to contend for an SEC championship by any stretch of the imagination. Didn't think we had that kind of team, but we certainly fully expect to be in the NCAA tournament. And I'd love to be able to come back and be able to declare, hey, we are officially back. And I want to be back to be Mississippi State baseball where everybody fears us. Number four, Crazy Town. Great song. I love the bass line on this one, too. A lot of that country twang stuff doesn't always resonate with me. And I don't mean just the lyrical stuff or the performance, the vocal performance. But some of the music, the composition doesn't always resonate with me. This song does. I like the bass line on this one. I really do. All right, number three, we're just getting started. Love it, love it, love it. Again, another song of encouragement and empower. We need as much of that as we can get. There's a song for every mood, and Jason Aldean, I think, kind of has that too. But just getting started. I think that's one of those songs that we play at Duty Noble that's very fitting. Number two, and I absolutely love this song. I just don't like to end on a ballad here. Kelly Clarkson is the, last I checked, was the best-selling American Idol contestant of all time. And she sang a duet with him, Don't You Want to Stay. It's a very, very beautiful, romantic song. It's one of those things, you look at the lyric, Don't You Want to Stay Here With Me Tonight. It's so incredibly intimate in many respects. And we've all had those moments, man. And I don't just mean, you know, these, you know, indiscretions and one-night stands and things like that. But you've had those feelings, you know, where it's just like the last thing I want to go do is go home. I just want to stay here with you forever, forever. Just stay here and share a pillow and watch Netflix. From now on, right? At some point, we've all felt that way. Where nothing else mattered but being with that person. Great song. And I think Kelly Clarkson does a tremendous job on this song. But number one for me, and this is probably a surprise for many, it's one of these songs that I heard kind of by accident. I don't even remember where I was. And I heard this, and it's like, I know this is kind of country, but I kind of dig this. And so you hit the Shazam feature, and lo and behold, it's Jason Aldean, When the Lights Come On. Love this song, man. Very true country, and it's basically a good opener, right, of a show. You know, it's like, hey, we're here to throw down. You know, Aldean and the boys are fixing to blow it up. It's great, great stuff. Love that song. Jason Aldean, again, a guy that I think that you know, has some support kind of across genres in many respects, but that's your country fix for a little bit. So there we go, Jason Aldean, top 10. We've never done him before, and I don't think anyway, unless Roy's done it and kind of slipped it to me without me realizing it. But that's your top 10 for today. Again, as always, brought to you by closesatblair.com. If you have an idea for the top 10 list, reach out, let us know. Best way to do that is to hit up Roy on Twitter, now known as X, at Dogmatic67, DAWGMATIC67. You can find our great list on Spotify with that same handle. And just hit the follow button there, and our list will auto-populate. So when you're traveling, maybe need some new things to listen to, or maybe your favorite artist, and my playlist may be different than yours. That's a really fun thing, too. But I've had so many people that have said, Steve, I've heard about so many songs I had forgotten, and I've been turned on to new music that I was unaware of on this show. And so I appreciate your support of the top 10 list. Lo, these many years. All right. Next segment of the show brought to you by Campus Bookmart, a Starkvillian institution. I love Campus Bookmart. You should too if you don't already. You may already have a raving love affair with the incredible selection of Mississippi State merchandise. Miss Kathy Brown does such a great job buying exactly what you want, what you need to outfit your family, your home, your pet, your RV, your office, your fan cave, whatever you want to call it these days, with great Mississippi State merchandise. Whether you need to outfit yourself with the wardrobe of new Mississippi State clothing, they can accommodate you there. And it's not just casual clothing, too. They have some nice dresses and things of that nature. Be sure and check them out. Next time you're in town, if you can't make it to town, or perhaps you live, in the mission field beyond the state lines of the great state of Mississippi, we encourage you to support a Starkville business and visit them at campusbookmart.net. And I'll give you some incentive. By being a loyal Boneyard listener, we'll give you a phrase that pays. That's BSR. That gets you free shipping on all orders over $75. Of course, BSR stands for Beautiful Steve Robertson. Easy to remember, right? Free shipping on all orders over 75 bones. Any order less than $75, absolutely incomplete. All right, let's take a little time now, and we'll navigate through this SEC baseball website that is absolute trash, I don't know if I've told you yet, but it's trash. It was so much better before. You could just put in the schedule for today and just click schedule, and it gives you today's games. But now instead, you got to go in and make all these picks and move all these things around. It's absolutely terrible. I'll just keep complaining about it until we know. Until somebody fixes it. It's nuts, man. I mean, it really, really is. It's like, it's so incredibly basic. And you're like, Steve, I'm tired of you fussing about it. Well, I don't know what to say. All right, looking at last night's action, things are pretty much as we expected. And, you know, we'll pick the series as always. But, yeah, I mean, Arkansas, Ole Miss is at Arkansas. Yeah, we expect Arkansas to take that. They did last night, 5-2. It's a good ball game for a while, though. And many of you, I know, watched it. And, goodness, Hagan Smith from Arkansas nearly gets decapitated by a line drive back up the middle. And he's able to kind of get a glove out there in self-defense and actually makes the play clean. But, guys, it was a 2-0 ball game in favor of Ole Miss in a third. Arkansas gets one in the fourth, and then the sixth inning, things get away from Ole Miss pitching, which has kind of been the story of the year. Four runs there in the sixth. The big blast, a three-run home run by Loy, the shortstop there, and really pulled him away 5-2. But, again, Ole Miss was in it. You just don't know what Ole Miss has left. I do know Mike Bianco will have a game plan. I just don't think this team is nearly as talented as people thought. And I mean that. I mean Ole Miss people. They were picked sixth in the West. I think they're going to finish seventh in the West. But all that said, it'll be interesting to see how the rest of the weekend plays out. All right, Vanderbilt, and I told you guys these guys struggle to score. They've been able to pitch it pretty good, but your pitching always gets taxed when you have to play LSU at Alex Box. LSU can swing it, guys. I know that their record has not been great. Partially that's because of the fact that their pitching has been less than expected by some of you. But LSU with 6 1/3, 3 4, makes it a 9-0 ball game, and it looks like it's kind of getting away. But give Vandy some credit. They get 4 5, 2 6 to make it a game again. Headed into the seventh, it's a 9-6 ball game. LSU tacks on 1 8. And just kind of rolls from there. But, you know, three-run shot from Vastine there in the fifth, kind of the big blow to get him back into it. But made it a 9-4 ball game. But, you know, working through, you know, the pitching numbers here. Grayson Carter from Vanderbilt had been outstanding all year. Gives up 7 hits and 9 runs. Vandy defense has been a little bit sketchy, too. Luke Holman works 5 2/3 of an inning, goes 6. He's now 6-1, allows 6 runs on 4 hits, though. 4 of them earned, 10 strikeouts against no walks. Holman just doesn't have much around him. That's the issue. That's really the issue with him. I think everybody kind of sees it for what it is. And so just 2 games last night as 2 series get underway, and both went as we expect. And again, I pick Arkansas to take the series. No hot take there. And I'm picking LSU to beat a Vanderbilt team that I think is a tad overrated. Vandy may get a game. It's just so tough to win down there. It doesn't matter who you are. It's really tough. When you get a road series win at LSU, you've really accomplished something, especially once you get through the month of March. When you start playing LSU, when the wind changes direction and it starts to heat up a little bit down there, the LSU bats heat up. And so, again, I think LSU takes this series. And a lot of people have left LSU for dead. I think LSU will make a run and eventually make the tournament. All right, Alabama is at Kentucky. Alabama ranked 13th, Kentucky 17th. There's some non-believers out there about Kentucky, and I'll be honest with you. You know, Kentucky has not played what we would call, you know, a very, very challenging SEC schedule. And I say that to be as nice as I can be about it. We're going to try to be as politically correct as we can. No, we're not. We're not going to be politically correct. They've had some really good opponents to start the SEC schedule. Things are going to change for Kentucky. And look, Nick Mangione's my friend, and I'm very proud for Nick. They're 24-4. They've won 5 games in a row. They're very, very good at home. Everybody is, but Kentucky, especially in the month of March, it's tough to go up there and play. They're 13-2 at home. That's big time, right? But when you look at these early SEC series, they sweep Georgia. We talked about them. Georgia was ranked 25th at the time. those games are really not competitive. Georgia, great job, of course, in a non-conference, but you got to go up there and pitch in that wind, and the ball just doesn't travel in that thick, cold air. And so Kentucky wins that series. Well, then Kentucky gets Missouri. They go to Missouri, and they drop the middle game there 2-1. But Missouri's the worst team in the conference. And then you go take on Ole Miss, who has one of the worst pitching staffs in the conference. And, yes, you sweep them. But things are about business is picking up. You got Alabama next. Then you got to go to Auburn, and that's a series you feel like you can at least get a game, maybe two. And then business really picks up. You get Tennessee coming to Lexington. You got to go to South Carolina. Then you get Arkansas. And then you got to go to Florida. Vanderbilt comes in. And so, yeah, you look at it right now and say, hey, no matter how you feel about them, listen, they're not going to win the SEC. But they're 8-1 right now, and you're probably 6 wins away from getting in the NCAA tournament. Now, you need to win a game or two. You got to avoid getting swept whenever you can. But Kentucky, in a really good position to have a winning record in conference this year. But things are going to change a good bit. Florida's at Missouri, and so Florida still ranked number 6, and I think we all would agree, if they're number 6, we're probably number 10. Now, Central Arkansas may agree, but I think we feel like we're a better team than Florida, even though they took 2 out of 3 from us, but that's why we play the games, right? They're going to be at Missouri, and I just think Florida, with that offense that doesn't have a lot of length in the bottom half of that order, but they're going to be able to pitch it well enough against a Missouri team that's really struggled. I think Florida offensively will be much. I think Florida sweeps the series. A&M's at South Carolina. This is a big series. Probably one of the biggest series in the league this weekend. Texas A&M at South Carolina. South Carolina has been okay. They're a middle-of-the-road team. They'll be in a regional somewhere. But A&M is kind of finding some things offensively. I'm still not sold on that order. I think after Appel, it's just a bunch of guys. And it's going to depend on how South Carolina pitches. You know, how can you handle Braden Montgomery and Jace Laviolette? Can you keep both of those guys silent all weekend? And the way that A&M is pitching it, runs will likely be at a premium. Give them some credit. They've got two bona fide left-handed starters. And so this could be a low-scoring affair, and I think that kind of plays into the hands of A&M. Tennessee is at Auburn. And, man, what a rough stretch it's been for Auburn. And you start thinking, you know, we had a tough stretch to open up our schedule, as did they, and then they get Tennessee coming in there. Now, granted, Tennessee pitching hasn't been what it was built to be, and maybe Frank and those guys will figure it out. But if you're Auburn, you're thinking, man, what happens with us? You know, a lot of people expected Auburn to be a really good team. They're 17-11, but they're 1-8 in the Southeastern Conference. And the pitching has not been there, which is such a surprise with Butch Thompson there. And when they got Gonzalez back, a lot of people thought, okay, well, they've got a bona fide Friday night guy. And you look at their record on Friday night games, they get 10-run ruled by Vanderbilt in their SEC opener. Now, really good effort here. They lose, though, in game one against Arkansas, 1-0. Well-pitched game, obviously. And then they get Texas A&M in College Station, and you lose that game 2-9-7. And so in 3 SEC weekends, you have lost game one. And tonight you get Tennessee. So after Tennessee, then Auburn gets a chance to host Kentucky, and then they have travel to Mississippi State, and then you got to go to LSU. That's tough, man. I mean, the month of April, right now, you'd say, okay, well, you know, it's tough to win on the SEC road. Can Kentucky go into Auburn and get 2? Well, if they can, I don't think Auburn wins a series in the month of April. What does that do for their prospects? I mean, think about this. You're already 8 games down in the loss column in the SEC, and then you don't win a series in the month of April. Well, that's going to be 6 more losses. So you're already, right, excuse me, that's going to be 8 more losses. That already puts you with 16 losses in the conference. Is that right? Yeah, they got 8 losses now. And let's say you lose all 4 series. Yeah, it puts you at 16 losses. And so that puts you in a situation where you're essentially out of the tournament with a month to play. That's a tough road to hold right there. And so Auburn needs to find a way to get 1 this weekend against Tennessee to kind of keep hope alive. They've had a lot of close calls, but this Tennessee team can really swing it. Ike Irish, of course, really good player at Auburn. Really good player. Georgia's at Mississippi State. We've already mentioned Ole Miss and Arkansas and Vanderbilt at LSU. And so, should be a great weekend of baseball. And we hope the best baseball is played right here in Starkville, Mississippi, when Mississippi State takes the diamond. Really excited to see how things play out. But, you know, I guess for us, you know, we're not going to win the SEC. And so, in many respects, what you want to see happen here is see the chalk hold with some of those teams that are ahead of us, right? You want to see them beat our contemporaries. So you want to see Arkansas win. We've already beaten LSU, and I think LSU's so far behind us in the standings, it's going to take a really terrible weekend for them to catch us, but they may. But Vanderbilt, I'm rooting against Vanderbilt. Alabama, Kentucky, we don't play Kentucky this year. Alabama is our contemporary. We do play them, and I'd like to see Kentucky take care of them. You know, Florida at Missouri, I think you root for Missouri here. But I think that is an exercise in futility. And I don't think we're going to catch A&M, so you root for them against Carolina. And then Tennessee at Auburn, you know, we'd love to be able to catch Tennessee. We don't play them. We do play Auburn. But as you kind of work through all this stuff, you start scoreboard watching a little bit. But the most important thing is to watch the scoreboard at Duty Noble Field, because no matter what else happens in the league, we need Mississippi State to win. As long as you win, things take care of themselves. The traffic tends to clear on its own, provided you're moving forward. That's why you have to get at least one every single weekend. That's why last weekend we went to Florida and said, man, I'd love to win a series, but you got to get one. We got one. And as we talked about on the Dude Effect last night, so you kind of did what you had to do. Well, you know, yeah, you did what you had to do, but you didn't do what you wanted to do, which was take that series, which would have been huge for this program and huge for the season. And we kind of move ahead now and ready for a palate cleanser. And just a few hours, we'll be at the diamond enjoying Mississippi State baseball, hopefully. But again, this series, I think, is really, really dicey. If we get good pitching performances, we're going to feel really good. If we revert back to the Cal Steven that we saw in a couple of other outings, like against LSU, right? Against, I guess, the second game. I can't remember the second series it was where he struggled, but Georgia Southern. If we get that Cal, we're going to have to scramble to win the weekend. If we get the Cal that we got last weekend, we're going to win the weekend. That's how I feel about it. And the one of the things that I've learned and I've shared is that I had somebody tell me that in a self-scout, we kind of figured out that Cal was tipping a couple things here and there, so we've changed some things with him before the Florida game, and so you saw how he pitched against Florida and how well he did. And so if we get that version of Cal, I think we're all going to feel really good about where things stand at Mississippi State baseball come Monday morning. All right, final segment of the show brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Go ahead and when you get done with the show, you've been thinking about it anyway, go ahead and Google Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Their Facebook page will come up, and you can peruse the pictures on their Facebook page and see all the amenities that are available to you and your guests when you stay at the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. It is a fantastic property. I've been there multiple times. Some friends of mine used it here about a month or so ago. It's been great. If you're bringing a large group to Starkville, and you probably should, you know, let's make it a celebration. Let's don't just go, you know, rent an Airbnb or rent a condo or get a hotel room, right? Let's bring everybody together under one roof. Five bedrooms available to you there. That great back porch area, the fire pit, just 5 miles away from the Mississippi State campus, a full-service kitchen. You can go stock for the whole weekend. Everybody can cook, you know, instead of having to spend all your money going out. Got a wet bar there as well. So you can entertain. You know, we don't want you throwing a rave there or anything. You do have a couple neighbors, but it's really quiet. You have some privacy out there and kind of a big property. Just kind of get out there and just kind of enjoy being in Starkville and being together. So whether it's a staycation, whether it's a guy's weekend, a girl's weekend, a couple's weekend, maybe it's a bridal shower, maybe it's just a chance for mom and dad to get all the kids together and all the grandkids under one roof and enjoy some Mississippi State sporting events. Or perhaps it's a work group. Maybe you haven't even considered that. You always thought, wouldn't it be great if we just like had a house? Well, you can. Now, when you Google that, you're going to get the options to book through Airbnb, and you can. You can book through VRBO. But if you book through the Evolve website, I can save you some money. I can save you 10% off your stay. That could be rather substantial. Use promo code BSR10. BSR10 gets you 10% off your stay at Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Be sure and check it out today. You'll be glad you did. Rather than go get five hotel rooms and you have to congregate down in that lobby, and maybe they have a bar, maybe they don't. You can be in charge of your own entertainment and your own recreation when you stay at the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. All right, I'm going to go ahead and prepare you guys for this. We've talked about a little bit over at jeanspage.com. You got some people, you know. It's important to understand that in the day and time in which we live in, players are going to transfer. Now, in about 11 days, the NCAA transfer portal window for the spring is going to open up. Now, Caleb Bryant, a guy that Mississippi State worked very hard to get a couple years ago, said on social media yesterday that he was in the portal. Well, not yet, but he's just kind of getting a head start on that. A lot of players do that. They go ahead and declare their intention to transfer before they can officially do so. And Caleb's not going to be the only one. And matter of fact, we've already got a couple of stories ready. No, we're not going to share the names yet because things change, right? I mean, we're halfway through spring practice, but there's some guys, obviously, that have seen the writing on the wall and said, you know what, I'm probably not going to play here. And that's okay. Number one, we need the room. But number two, we don't want somebody to stay on our roster just to make us feel better. You only get a short time in life to play sports. And if you're not going to play here, you need to play elsewhere. Nobody aspires to be a guy that just holds a tackling dummy or a guy that just works with a scout team when they've got aspirations of playing college football. Now, there are some people that are just happy to be a part of it all, right? We got to walk on and say, you know, I just want to wear the uniform, man. I just want to be able to be out there and do what I can to help this team get ready to go face competition in a rugged Southeastern Conference. Those guys are invaluable to our program. But guys that are on scholarship that aren't producing, it's not a service to them or to us. It's important that, hey, you figured out, and you have some guys at times that get in here and they figure out, you know what, I might be out of my depth here, and maybe I need to be in a different system with a different coaching staff. It's not an indictment on your program or your staff. So we're going to have some people transfer, and this is where I need you to help me, especially in those Facebook groups, because there's so many know-it-alls in those Facebook groups. There's so many people that say, oh, well, you know, are we even going to be able to play football this year? Yes. Yes, we are. Don't expect a ton of transfers. We're going to have some. You know, and I always do the numbers every now and again. There's so much to keep up with and so much to do these days. It's difficult to kind of to keep those numbers fresh. But, you know, I had figured out, but prior to the December signing period, that 1 in 3 high school players had signed with a Southeastern Conference school transferred. 1 in 3. And to think that we're going to be immune from that is just not fair, right? Especially when we have a new coaching staff in place. We have a new offense and defensive system in place, and not everybody's going to fit. And that's perfectly okay. There's some people out there who say, oh, this is all just speculation. Well, you know, it's not. You know, and it's naive to think that there wouldn't be transfers, right? But, yeah, we got a couple guys that we've heard are going to be moving on, one on offense and one on defense. But again, things can change. And you say, Steve, you're being so cryptic here. And I apologize for that. But we're going to respect these young people and their families and also your coaching staff. Because, you know, you may have a post-spring meeting where somebody brings you in and say, hey, John Q. Bulldog, I know you had a tough spring. However, we still think you've got some real potential. We want to work with you here. And this is our plan for us. Sometimes guys want to beat you to their punch, right? Some guys are like, you know what? They don't pay me any attention. I'm not getting enough reps. I'm going to get out of here. And then all of a sudden, there's a meeting. It says, hey, here's our plan for you. If you're willing to accept that, then please stay on. And if you're not, it's okay if you leave. It's good that everybody is a mature adult about this, but it's important to understand that. But yeah, we are aware, and it shouldn't be breaking news to anybody, that we're going to have transfers. It's not some big shock. Everybody's going to have transfers. And hopefully State can pick up some transfers. I asked Jeff Lebby on Thursday when we had a chance to visit with him about the running back position. And he says that group's got to get better. And that's one of the things you think about with Woody Marks moving along. You know, who kind of steps up? You know, he mentioned Kevon Lee as a guy that's really done some nice things for us, and Kevon has played sparingly in his time here at Mississippi State. But is Kevon Lee a guy that can get us to the next level? Is Kevon that guy that can be the dynamic running back? And, of course, Seth Davis, of course, tore his ACL in the Egg Bowl. There's some hope for him returning this year. And as Jeff Levy said, he's got a couple of big appointments coming up, and we'll have some further clarity on that. But, you know, Seth Davis, you know, is a guy that we think a lot of, but we don't expect him to be 100% even after he gets back this year. And that's okay. But when you look at our depth at running back, it kind of lends me to thinking that maybe perhaps after spring, we should target a running back in the portal. We talk about we have to get better. We talk about that we've got some depth concerns there, and we've got some veteran guys there that hadn't done a whole lot. That's one of those things that I think makes good sense to us. And in order for us to, you know, go out and get an edge and go out and get a running back, and maybe some other spots, we're going to need some room. And so I share all that with you, number one, not to make you be concerned, but to kind of accept the reality of where we are. And I think that's an important aspect of all this stuff, too. I don't know that everybody fully appreciates that. That, you know, we have allocated a ton of scholarships for wide receiver, and we needed to do that. We absolutely needed to do that. And I think everybody recognized that. And Levy says you want to run a rotation about 7 or 8 guys. And as much as we're going to run verticals, as much as we're going to get out there and chase the rabbit, you know, it's not going to be like the Joe Moorhead thing where we have 3 or 4 guys out there. You know, we're going to have a ton of guys out there working to make plays for us. And so it made sense for us to go heavy on offensive line, heavy on wide receivers. And, of course, we picked up 2 quarterbacks. You know, and Michael Van Buren and, of course, Blake Shapen, you know, one from the portal and one from high school. And the reports on Van Buren have been very, very, very good through spring. And of course, you figure out, you know, where does Mike Wright fit? And Mike's still around. You know, I don't know what Mike's long-term plans are, you know, but, you know, Chris Parson, of course, is a guy that we're very high on too. Big, big, big arm. But when you look at running back, you know, Johnny Daniels is a guy that was the number one running back in junior college. We have high hopes for him, but he has been somewhat limited, we understand, recently in practice. Seth Davis hasn't practiced. Kevon Lee, of course, has been a reserve. Jeffrey Pittman's a guy that we think a lot of. But you hadn't done a whole lot, but outside of that, it's just walk-ons. And so we talk about being better at the position. That may mean that we need to allocate another scholarship for a portal running back. So look for State to be active in the portal recruiting process when it comes to running backs. Call that an educated guess, right? And we know we have to have an edge. That's not some big surprise. Levy mentioned that after the December signing period, that we need to get an edge. And we didn't just want to take a guy in December. Now, we would have loved to have been identify a guy that could come in here in January and take part in spring practice. But we're going to probably have to go get a pass rushing specialist out there to help us on third and long just because of the league in which we play in. That's important to understand. And so we still have some needs. Well, we've already signed a ton of new Bulldogs and really flipped this roster in many respects. There is still some transition that's going to take place. There will be outgoing traffic and ingoing traffic. And please, 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 when you see somebody transfer, let's not just immediately go run to the Facebook groups and act like the sky is falling. And I'm telling you now, here on April 5th, we're going to have guys go in a portal on April 16th. We are. And it's perfectly okay. I don't expect a big mass exodus, but there are going to be some guys that just simply don't fit. And you don't begrudge them leaving. I don't think you're going to see any notable players leave like we saw in December. I think you're going to see some guys are a little bit farther down the depth chart. And there'll be some names, you know, for sure. But it's not going to derail the program. I think we've done such a great job in the portal so far, especially on offense, that we feel really good about the direction of things. And, you know, the reports from defensive practice have been good, too. You know, we hadn't had a chance to observe much at all. But, you know, the things that we hear from sources, guys are kind of picking the defense up. And they're playing with a lot of effort and emotion. And so we look forward to having you guys come be a part of the spring game. Here in a couple weekends is, you know, the Maroon and White games taking place, and we get ready to take on Auburn in college baseball. I'll share with you this, too. I'm having an absolute blast writing the book, The Dude, And I'm really taking my time with it. You know, when I wrote When the Bottom Falls, I wrote that in 27 days. And part of that, I think, as I told the wife earlier this morning, I think part of that is because, number one, I didn't have to do any fact-checking, but number two, the subject matter was so heavy, I was kind of ready to get through with it. Now, with this one, with the dude, the biography of Duty Noble, the person, not the stadium, even though we'll talk about the stadium, I'm learning so much, and it excites me to know that what I learn will be published for the first time in over 100 years, and much of it for the first time ever. And you're going to learn some things about the rivalry. You're going to learn some things about Duty Noble's time at Ole Miss. A lot of our fans don't even know that Duty Noble coached at Ole Miss. Of course, you know the famous quote, "You don't have to tell me what hell is like. I once coached at Ole Miss." And I imagine coaching at Ole Miss is almost like going to going to hell for a Bulldog. And, you know, our bud Joe Judge is now headed up there, you know. And to join Zach Arnett, it's always interesting to see how that works, you know. Yeah, wish Joe the best, though. Joe's a friend. But all that I understood, there's so many things that I've learned. And probably a thing that I can share with you, too, is Duty Noble was a big fan of the bunt. Now, equipment was much different back then. And it was a game we had against Ole Miss. And Ole Miss had their ace out there. And they were competing for the 1920 SIAA championship. And they needed to beat us in order to win the conference. Now, if you look at the record books, it didn't reflect the season that they had. That's one of the things I'm actually gathering information on, and we'll pass that along, you know. Ole Miss had a great team in 1920. They were great. They weren't just good. They were great. They really were. Now, to be fair, they played a very, very, very weak non-conference schedule, kind of like Georgia in many respects. And the only out-of-state conference team they played that year was Vanderbilt. You know, back in those days, when we were in the SIAA, at times it was a 30-team league, and that involved Millsaps and Mississippi College. And it was basically everybody in the South, in the Southeast anyway, that played major college sports were in the same conference. And so there was a lot going on. And Ole Miss needed to beat us twice. Ole Miss had their ace on the mound, and we win a 3-0 ball game, and all the runs are scored in the first inning. It's so interesting. There's a name that you guys are unfamiliar with, and you should be. And I think that after you read the dude, you're going to be more excited about this. One of the things that is an exciting time for me, one of the best things about being a researcher and a bit of a historian in writing about Bulldog history, is identifying great players that we don't talk about. Players from old that maybe our fans are unaware of. And there's a guy named Cotton Klinman. He was our catcher. He was a three-year All-SEC. He was SIAA, and then we defected to the Southern Conference. But he was a three-year All-Conference catcher. Was our captain in 1921 and 1922. In 1920, he hit leadoff as a catcher. And he wasn't just a fleet-of-foot guy. He could run a little bit. But he was a guy that had some girth to him. He was a catcher. You know, back in those days, you wanted a big target, so you put a big guy behind the plate. So in that ball game, we lead off, and Klinman reaches on an error. And then we decide to bunt him over to second. And their pitcher, Carney, I believe was the name, rather than take the out at first, tries to force Klinman at second, throws the ball in the center field. And so now we have runners at second and third. And Huey Kritz, another name that you're going to read about extensively in this chapter, future big leaguer. His dad at one time was the president of Mississippi State College, or Mississippi A&M College, we call it at the time. But Huey comes up. You got your three-hole hitter up there. But runners at second, third, nobody out. And you would think, we're going to swing away right here. But no, instead, Huey Kritz lays down a squeeze bunt. He beats it out. Klinman scores. It's 1-0. Then you have the four-hole hitter come up. Runners on the corners. And he, too, lays down a squeeze bunt. We get the run home. Now, they throw him out at first, and the next guy comes up and hits an RBI single in the right. Kritz comes around to score. It is a 3-0 ball game. Guys, that was the ball game. That was it. We scored 3 runs in the first, and the game was so well pitched on both sides. We had a guy named Monroe Mitchell, another future big leaguer, spent a year with the Washington Senators. The year after, he completed his time at Mississippi A&M. And after we had taken those two games from Ole Miss that prevented them from winning the SIAA championship, we had a parade through downtown Starkville. And Duty Noble wrapped up his first season as a baseball coach in Starkville at 8-8. Wasn't a great year. We had to win those last two games to avoid having a losing record. But you know what happened the next 2 years? With Duty Noble filling out your lineup and coaching your players, we won the conference championship. In fact, Duty Noble won 3 in 5 years. And learning these things and sharing these things and educating and entertaining about these things has really, in many respects, been the joy of my professional life. This is a book that is so incredibly important to me because I know that it's important to you. There are a lot of people involved with Mississippi State. When I told them that I was considering writing this book, they're like, whoa. I had another prominent writer in the state tell me I wish I'd had the same idea. And so it's been incredible to work through this process and learn some amazing things about our most decorated student athlete. Only 3 athletes in the history of this university have 14 varsity letters. That record will never be broken. Never be broken. And Duty Noble's one of those 3. And there's a reason he didn't get 16. And you'll read about that in the book. Had nothing to do with his ability. Had nothing to do with Billy Chadwick. You'll see. You'll read about it. But we're going to open up pre-orders sooner than I expected. I had the publisher reach out to me and said, hey, you know, you've kind of picked up the pace here a little bit, and the editing process is moving along very smoothly, and so we think we're going to open up pre-orders maybe a month earlier. Not exactly sure of the release date of the book, but I know many of you are excited to go ahead and get in line. And again, we're going to have a limited edition. It's going to be more expensive than the others, but it's going to be, when I get more details, we'll share that with you. But it's going to be a limited edition that makes this book really a keepsake in many respects. I think every Mississippi State fan deserves a copy of Dogpile. I think every Mississippi State fan, regardless of sport, will want a copy of this book because there is so much Mississippi State athletics history in this that I think it's interesting. That is a timeless book in many respects. And I had somebody tell me, Steve, this book should have been written 50 years ago. I agree. But it's been my honor to be the one to write it. And it is, I'll be honest with you, when I first had the idea, I knew how ambitious an endeavor this was. And it scared me a little bit. As like, Duty Noble means so much to Mississippi State people, and he's going to mean even more when people read this book. But I wanted to make sure I could do it justice. So I reached out to the family and began interviewing family members all over the country and got some good stuff. And then, of course, I was able to kind of get pointed in the right direction about some things. And so if you like Stark Villains and Alpha Dogs, it's going to be kind of written in that same way, right? It is a biography, but it is a book of basically history. And it's history that you don't know, right? It's not going to be games you grew up with. Right, because anybody that attended any of these games would have been an infant, and they'd be over 100 years old. And so there are some stories in here that have not been shared for over 100 years. And we've been able to unearth them. And so I will share the link. It'll be the same link, right? Well, the name will change. All those links go to the same places. But you go to whenthebottomfalls.com right now, and you can order When the Bottom Falls, which, of course, is my memoir about over 32 years of recovery, what it took to get there, what it's taken to stay here. You can get Flim Flam, which, you know, everybody deserves a copy of Flim Flam. And with Mother's Day and Father's Day coming up, maybe you need to think about this, right? And then also Stark Villains and Alpha Dogs. And those books are going to go out of print. We've been able to, we did kind of got a short run and got some additional inventory. But we're going to let those go out of print for a while, probably a couple of years. So if you hadn't bought those books, you need to. And then, of course, everybody needs a copy of Dogpile. We got plenty of inventory on Dogpile. And then pretty soon you'll be able to order The Dude. And it is one of those things, too. Every time that I write something, my wife always says this. She said, I love when you're writing books. And I said, why is it? Because I'm not around as much? She started laughing. And she goes, no. She goes, I love it when you come bounding down the stairs and you've uncovered some neat little story and how excited that you get to share this with Mississippi State people. And that does mean a lot to me. It truly does, because you are the people that I care about. Even if you don't like me, you know, I still am doing this work on behalf of you to document our history and to modernize some older stories that you're unaware of. That stuff is very, very important to me. So I encourage you, of course, be ready for that. And as always, if you haven't done so, go buy those books at When the Bottom Falls. If you're looking for Stark Villains gear, you can find it at starkvillains.com. Get the t-shirts, the hoodies. No thongs yet, but we'll see. Maybe. But all that understood, you know, I work really hard at this because I care about our legacy. I care about Mississippi State, and I want to make the most of my opportunity during my time, during my era as a Mississippi State writer, to do the best job for us that I possibly can. It's my name on the book, but it's our story. It's important to understand. That's how I see it. I feel like I'm your ambassador into the past to unearth these incredible stories and share them with you in addition to the work that we do over Gene's page. As always, please visit us at True Rest, and it's a busy schedule this weekend, but there's still some availability you can get in. As I shared before, call 662-268-7601 to learn more about it and to schedule, or you can just visit truerest.com. I'm going to get out of here. I got to get this show up and posted, and then we got to head over to Duty Noble Field and hopefully take care of the Georgia Bulldogs tonight. But until next time, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends than enemies, and people can see a difference in the way we live.
You're a pro at running your life, at committing to your workout, at showing up every day. At Bombas, we're pros too. Pros at making socks. Our sport assortment has specialized socks for whatever sport you're committed to. Running, hiking, golf, Pilates, and so much more. Made with sweat-wicking yarns, blister-fighting details, and targeted arch support. Bombas Sport is pro-level socks from the pros of socks. For another pro, you. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code audio for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com and use code audio.